Good morning, church family. It's so good to see you here. As you can tell, if you weren't aware, this is our senior Sunday, our chance to celebrate those that are going to be graduating here very shortly. So we've got our graduates all from Stephenville High School this year. So we're excited that they are in this final countdown of this last week that they've got. Great chance we have to celebrate. We already started off this morning in a great way with them by getting to have breakfast together. Just a chance to kind of dote on them a little bit and help them realize that this is a great milestone that they've reached in life. Hopefully on your way in today, you were able to grab a bulletin. Always a great resource that we have is also grahamstreetchurch.com. A great way that you'll see is that even within the bulletin, there's those little QR codes that you can scan with your phone that will take you to the website so you can see even more information of what's there, even just beyond what's in print. At the same time, you can also go to grahamstreetyouth.org. Check out some of the things that are going on with the Graham Street Youth Group. Here's kind of what's going on today. So we've accomplished one of these. We've done very well so far with eating breakfast. So here we are now. This is our chance to celebrate and worship together for our graduates today. And then this afternoon, that's going to be a little different than what it says. It's supposed to be raining by that point pretty good. So we're actually going to move our event indoors. So it's going to be in the family center. What we encourage you, Graham Street family, to do is this is your chance to stop by and to visit with our seniors, maybe ask them a couple of questions about where they're going and stuff like that. I was going to have all that in the slideshow, but then I was like, kind of takes the fun out of you having to ask them and them having to answer it 83 times today. So stop by and visit with them this afternoon. If you've got gifts for them, we'd love for you to bring those by there. But a great chance we have just to celebrate them. So from 2:30 to 3, if you want to stop by the Family Center, we'll have our seniors over there, and you can celebrate them a little bit with us this afternoon. Also want to remind everybody that our Living Faith Wednesday night program will officially kick off on Wednesday, May 26th. That Wednesday night, we'll meet over at the Family Center. We will do a cookout. We'll talk about the things that we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights throughout the summer. But we have different ways that we're really focusing on making it cross-generational. This is for Graham Street as a whole. And in the things that we get to do, we'll get to celebrate different ministries and different ways that we have to serve right here at Graham Street. So definitely be prepared for Wednesday, May 26th, as we do our kickoff to get things started with that. This morning, we're going to have a little bit different style of a sermon. As you can kind of see, there's lots of part one, part two, part three in there, and then a lot of prayers. One of the big things that we're going to have today is that our leaders of this congregation are going to be praying for our graduates and for us as a body of Christ. And so in the things that we get to do today, we have an opportunity to celebrate a milestone, not just in the life of some students, but in the life of families and in the life of Graham Street itself. So this morning, to get us started, I've asked Rusty if he would to come up and start us out with a prayer.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're here to worship our Lord and Savior, but we're also here to as Wes said, dote on five seniors. And we're proud of their accomplishments. We're proud that they're to this point in their life. Adrian Fletcher, Dylan Jones, Megan Prescott, Jade Wilson, Abby Young. As I was sitting with my wife just then, and seeing that slideshow, she said, I remember exactly when they were to that point. And there was little ruffle bloomers in some of those pictures. And there was little ones crawling. But we're very proud. We're very proud of our seniors. And we're proud for what they've done in their life to this point. And we're proud of what we expect of them going forward and what the kingdom expects of them. I'm going to say a prayer, but first I want to read a scripture, and Megan Prescott had it on her slide presentation. But this is a letter from the prophet Jeremiah to the exiles. And Adrian and Dylan, Megan, Jade, and Abby, I just want you to think about these things. Jeremiah said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And it says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Our prayer as a body of believers is that you seek a relationship greater every day with your Lord and Savior, and you are an important part of the kingdom, and you're an important part of going forward, and you're a blessing to people in their lives. Graham Street Church of Christ is very proud of you, though, and proud that you're to this point. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for the weather, the rain that you've blessed us with this week, Father, and we know that going forward you'll continue to bless us. Father, we know that according to the scriptures, you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. Father, we pray a special prayer. We lift up five special young people to you, and we just ask that you would continue to bless them. We ask that they would continue to seek you in all that they do. Father, help them to realize that each day, they are building the life that they will have in the future going forward. Father, and our prayer as a body of believers is that they will seek you in all that they do, and we know that you will have them prosper. Father, we ask a special prayer for Adrian Fletcher, Dylan Jones, Megan Prescott, Jade Wilson, and Abby Young. And Father, help us to continue as a body of brothers and sisters to encourage them and encourage them to be the people that you need them to be for your kingdom. Father, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we're not the people you call us to be. And thank you for the eternal promises we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name and all of God's people said, amen.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth to the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Need to back up a little bit. Oh, okay. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing, Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Like the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again.
All right, you guys hear me okay? Yes, no, maybe? All right. So here we are, Senior Sunday, and I was talking with David the other day, and I was kind of flattered a little bit by what he said, I guess, but then it scares me a little bit. I told him, I really like alliteration. And for some of you who may not know what that is, that's where you have the same sound over and over and over and over again there. So finding your faith in a fearful and failing world, I like that. And David said, sounds like you're a preacher at heart. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if that's what I'm thinking of when I want that. And so you'll actually see that all the things that we go through today that you'll see even on your bulletin there will have this alliteration that's there. And it's there to help you remember something. And for me, I've always been one of those that the more you hear something, the more I remember it. And if you've ever even sat in any of the classes that I've taught and you've heard, you'll realize that we do a lot of review. And any of the kids here are probably thinking, yes, but you know what? It's really neat because the kids can tell me what it is that we're looking for because they've heard it over and over and over and over again. And so finding faith, finding your faith in a fearful and failing world is a struggle because sometimes we hear something so much that we've forgotten it. Matthew chapter 4 has some verses that we're very familiar with. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. So he saw some fishermen. And here's what we know, Matthew 4:19, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Sometimes we've heard the call, come follow me, so much that we've forgotten it. And sometimes we have to find or even refind our faith in a fearful and failing world. But we'll get back to that stuff from Matthew 4 a little bit later. The first thing we're going to talk about, this first step of finding your faith, is to face your fears. I'm going to try to find the area that doesn't make me pop in the microphone. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy. There's a mistake in the bulletin, and that's my fault, because I gave the wrong one. I kept thinking, 1 Timothy, that doesn't sound right. But afterwards, I got back to it, and I was like, oh, it's because there's another Timothy, and that's where I made my mistake. 2 Timothy 1, in verse 7, and I'll actually start at verse 5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. And here, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. We all have fears. Everybody has fears. Now, typically when we hear fear, we go to phobias. And we all have our phobias, right? So I looked up, and I did the fun thing, of course, what do? You Google something. And I wanted to look up and see what fears were on the top of the list of Americans. So here's a list of the top things. And I can't see it from back there because I don't have that good of vision. All right, look down here. Number 10 is ghosts, okay? Number 9 is clowns, which to me should be way up near the top of the list, actually. Darkness, zombies. Interesting. Strangers, flying, claustrophobia, blood and needles. I can agree with that one for sure. Drowning, bugs, snakes, and other animals, heights. And then look at the number one fear of Americans. Public speaking. Over 25% of people, when they were polled in this, said that's the one thing that gives them more fear than anything else. And I think about this, and here I am speaking publicly, and guess what? Every time before I get ready to speak, I'll still find, and I did, even when I was sitting right over here in this front pew, my hands are shaking. And I always think, man, you'd think by now I would get over this. But I've also noticed that there's times where my hands aren't shaking, and to me, those are some of the worst speeches or sermons I've ever given. Because in this opportunity, if I'm not fearful to deliver the word of God and a message from God, I don't know what's wrong with me then. And David, I don't know then if I'd have the preacher at heart going there. But you think about some of these fears that are there, and they're very tangible things. If you have a fear of speaking, what do? Don't get up and speak in front of people. If you've got a fear of drowning, what do? Stay out of the water. If you've got a fear of clowns, what do? Don't go to the circus. Now I say this as a joke. I actually am a little bit afraid of clowns. I don't know why. It's just kind of one of those things that creeps me out. And a few years ago, while we were still living in South Texas, there was a circus that came through San Antonio. And we were like, hey, that'd be cool. Let's take the kids. And so we go to the circus, and we get there, and we find out that it's a Spanish-speaking circus. And, of course, I bought VIP seats, so we're like two rows from the front. And they like to use volunteers. And they have clowns. And so they get me out there with the clown of the hour, and they're having me do all this stuff, and they're trying to ask me questions, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. And then they start talking about me, and I'm kind of like, all right, now it's kind of making me mad a little bit. But I didn't mind being in front of the people. It was the clown that really bothered me. But I had to face my fear in that, and Nicole gets a great kick out of that. She was like, oh, do you remember the time? And I'm like, yes, I remember the time. I've tried to block it out of my memory, but it's there, and we have these tangible fears of things. But you know what? I think as people, as children of God, we have different kinds of fears. Fears that grip us internally. Even though my fear of clowns may grip me internally, it's not the same way as some of these things in faith. that I fear. And I have to think about what it means to face my fears. A couple of weeks ago, he doesn't know I'm about to say this about him, George, right over here, I asked George if he would do our opening prayer for us. And this was like maybe a week after he had officially placed membership at Graham Street. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to ask George to do this. So I did what any good person is who's looking for somebody to say a prayer. I sneak up behind him, and then I lean down next to him, right where he was sitting now, and I said, hey, George, you want to say our opening prayer for us? Eyes got kind of big and looked at me. And so immediately I felt bad. And so I said to him, it's okay, you can say no. But George said something that stuck with me ever since that day. And even a few weeks ago, I got to preach while I was in South Texas. And I told him, you're a celebrity down there now, because I told this story to them too, that I said to him, it's okay, you can say no. But George said, but I could also say yes. And he got up and he said that prayer. Now, I don't know if he's truly afraid of public speaking or getting up and doing it, but what an answer. And I love that. And I think, man, when I'm trying to face my fears, I could say no. But what if I say yes? There's a guy you may have heard of in the Bible. His name is Jesus. And his whole life was lived in fear. And you may be thinking, no, Jesus wasn't afraid of anything. No, Jesus was afraid. He was just like us. His whole life, he knew what he was going to have to face. And the night before he had to face it, he was scared and he prayed to God and said, God, if there's another way, please take this away. And there was that moment where Jesus could have said no. But instead, he chose to say yes. So who we are we going to be more like Jesus to face our fears? Or are we going to hold back? Are we going to be able to stand up to things? Because what if Jesus had said no? What if Jesus had said no? Years ago, there was a study that was done at a northern university. And the professor had people coming in. And he assigned 10 people that were going to vote on a question that he would ask. And he had drawn 3 lines on the board. Each line was a different length. Now, the thing is, of the 10 people he chose, 9 of them he'd talked to before and told them, do not choose the longest line. But when they come into class, he said, all right, which is the longest line that you're drawing on the board? And they started going through each of the 10 people. And as they were going through, most of them were answering incorrectly as they were told to, and they were choosing a shorter line. And that last person who didn't know it said 75% of the time through all the classes for that week would agree with the rest of the class. Even though they knew it wasn't the longest line, but they were afraid of standing out. They were afraid of being different than everyone else. They were afraid because they thought they might be wrong. And so if we face our fears, we hear that Paul is writing to a young man, Timothy, and he's saying, God didn't give you this spirit that you're supposed to hold back. It's this spirit that's supposed to explode. When you've received the greatest news on earth that Jesus died for you, shouldn't you just be dying to tell someone else about it? Literally. Are you willing to die to tell somebody else about that? Or are you too afraid of what everyone else is going to think and say? So the first step to finding your faith in a fearful and failing world is to face your fears. To face your fears. I'm going to ask Hubert, if you would, to come up and to pray for us in just this idea. And this isn't, again, just for our graduates. This is for all of us to hear, too. Hubert, if you would.
If you would, pray with me. Our merciful and gracious Father, we are so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the privilege we have of being here with each other to worship you. God, we're grateful for your word, for the examples of so many saints through the years who have faced their fears. And though at times they have failed, that still through your grace and mercy, they have been picked up, they've been strengthened, and that they've been redeemed. And we're thankful, God, that that same path is still there for us today. We're so very thankful and eternally thankful for your Son, for what he did to empty himself, to come to this earth, to take on the human form, to deal with all the frustrations and anxieties and the rejections and the problems that he had to face, knowing that before him loomed a death on our behalf. And God, we are thankful that he died for us. We're thankful that he rose from the grave and that he is there now at your right hand. And God, may that give to these soon-to-be graduates a confidence and an assurance in their life and in our lives. But wherever that Adrian and Abby and Dylan and Jade and Megan go in life, wherever life leads them, may they realize, God, that you are with them, that you love them, that your Spirit dwells within them as children of yours. And we pray, God, that they'll ever realize that their family and their friends are there to support them, and that through the various trials and decisions that they have to make in life, we pray, God, that you'll give them wisdom, give them patience, give them understanding, and that day by day they might grow in their love and devotion to you. And we pray the same thing for all of us, God. We are so thankful that you are a God who can take away our fears, take away our troubles, and especially above all, take away our sins through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Moving on in our alliteration here, after we face our fears, the next thing we need to do is to forget your failures. And I almost think this is harder than facing your fears, because we're human. And we like to let things stick in the back of our mind and never go, and especially those things that have to do with us failing. Now, unfortunately, I believe that for Christians, for us, that one of the greatest fears we have to face is failure. To me, one of the things that really hinders the church today is that we are so afraid of failing that a lot of times we don't try. That we're so afraid of doing something wrong that we've lost the ambition to where we say, well, we don't have this spirit of timidity, this spirit that's going to, you know, keep me back, because we don't know how to forget our failures. If you look in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Did you hear what he said? Listen. "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Forgetting the past. That's not easy to do. And so for us, when we do this, I can't help but think of examples in Scripture of people that failed. And you see it that most people, it wasn't just a one-time failure, it's a repeated process over and over and over again. And one of the big examples of that, I think we see, is in the Apostle Peter. That he had a hard time getting things right. But you know what? Jesus never let that be the end. He could have said, you know what? That's it, Peter. Last time, I'm done with you. But you go to the end of the Gospel of John, and there's this beautiful story of after Jesus has been resurrected and he's come back, and this is after he suffered the pain of death, after he suffered the pain of watching his followers turn and run away, after being betrayed, after being denied by a close friend. That we see Jesus getting to talk to Peter again, and Peter is I think, pretty pumped because Jesus is back. And if Peter was anything like me, he's probably thinking, I hope Jesus doesn't bring up that denial thing. Because you know it had to be in the back of his mind. And he's thinking, I didn't just let him down once. I didn't just let him down twice. I let him down three times. And that was just in one night. Didn't even have to do with all the other times that he had made mistakes and let Jesus down. But Jesus comes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, of course, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Then right after that, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's thinking, well, okay, I just answered that, but yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Then a third time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. And you can even see that it says that now there's this sense of frustration coming from Peter, that he's upset. Why would he ask me three times? And then all of a sudden, if he's like me and can't forget those failures, he's saying, oh yeah, because they asked me three times and I couldn't have the right answer. But then right after that, Jesus could have said, look what you did. You still don't get it. But instead, Jesus tries to help Peter forget his failures. And he goes back to that verse that we started out with, and he says, come follow me. Now, the thing is, when we go through struggles and failures, we always assume that a failure is negative. In fact, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, as soon as I talked about failures, how many of you said, oh, failures, bad thing? But you know what? Failures are part of life. And failures are definitely part of faith. And the things that we get to do and the ways that God has called us to serve him, we are called to do something that it is impossible to do without failing. It's impossible to do without failing. In fact, you read scripture over and over again and you hear different stories and people struggled to get things right. In fact, the disciples, they would come back to Jesus over and over again. Hey, why can't we do this? I don't get it. You've told us what to do. We're following the directions exactly as you said, but it's not working. And maybe it's because, as you would see more often than not, he would have the response of, where's your faith? You of little faith, because they couldn't forget their failures. One of the things that's difficult is that it's a lot easier figuring out how not to do things right, or how not to do things, than it is how to do things right. Most of us, if you've played a sport, if you've played an instrument, you didn't just pick it up and just all of a sudden, hey, that's it. Now, a lot of moms and dads, I know you think you've got your prodigy child that the first time they picked up a football, a baseball, a basketball, whatever it is, that you're like, oh, look at them, superstar. But you know what? It's because we see our child with the eyes of a parent. We see our child with the eyes of God. Look at what they can do. Give them a contract already. That's what God sees in us. He says, look what they can do, when he knows that we're going to struggle and that we're going to fail. And so when Paul was writing it, and he says, I've had to forget the things that are in my past, because look at the man who's talking. Look what Paul came from. He had figured out really good ways to do everything against what God was asking him to do. But it took Jesus coming and having a conversation with him before he found out the right thing to do. And it didn't mean that he was going to get everything right after that. I love and hate a scripture that comes from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Because I'm thinking, well, how's that supposed to work? But I don't think it's about achieving perfection, but striving for it. Because that's what we're called to do in faith. And faith comes with failures. But God forgets those failures. And it's tough for us to do that. And I know for us as a people, and for our graduates, you may look back at some things and say, how am I supposed to move forward from that? You have to make a choice. Do I live in the failure, or do I live beyond the failure? And that's what Paul was trying to get people to understand, is He had messed up. He had messed up big. But God was willing to forgive him. Jesus looks at us today and he says, those are my people. And we may be like, you know, yeah, but the person sitting next to me, you don't know what they were doing last weekend. Jesus says, it's a failure. We can forget those failures. We can move on. We can press on to the greater things that are ahead of us. So the first thing that we have to be able to do in finding our faith is to face our fears. But sometimes the greatest fear that we have to face is the fear of failure. And we have to forget those failures and learn that Christ has said, you've got another chance. You've got another chance. I'm going to ask Jim, if he would, to come up and to pray for us as we attempt to forget those failures and to move past those things so that we can continue to strive on to the goal ahead of us. Jim.
So I'm going to scare Wes a little bit. I'm going to ad lib a little bit. All you graduates, kids in high school, have faced different things, whether it's sports or it's an FFA or different things, where things hadn't gone right. A lot of those experiences aren't under your control. An animal doesn't behave at a show. A play goes bad on the football field or somewhere else in another sport. But I remember hearing Coach somewhere along the line as I took our kids around was, play the next play. Put that out of your mind and go for the next one. And that's what Wes is somewhat saying, is that there will be things that we do in life and happen in life. Yeah, we can learn from what not to do, but we can also stay focused on doing what to do, knowing what the right thing to do is. And then there's also a lot of things that we do where we interact with other people. And sometimes you have to decide that I've wronged somebody and you have to go repair a relationship. And you know, those are some of the important things as we do as Christians, is having relationships with other people. So we need to remember that maybe there's a failure, maybe it wasn't our fault, but maybe somebody else, we interacted with it, but we need to go repair that relationship. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and let's think about the things as parents, how we can encourage our kids even when they become long-distance learners from us. We learned that that's somewhat harder than having them in the same household. So just remember that there are people for us to rely on and for other people to help us out as we go forward. Dear Father, thank you for this day. We come to you for our high school seniors today and all of our other members here. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to understand where we've fallen short. Give us wisdom to understand how to look forward and hold our heads up and to move forward and do the right thing that you would have us to do. Dear Father, please bless each of these seniors as they starting out into a different realm and a different world, doing different things that they've not been in the environment to do before. Help them to rely on you. Help them to rely on the learning that they've had through church and through the Bible to stay focused on doing the right thing. Help them as they continue their academics or continue their life, learning those life skills. Help them to become the people you'd have them to be solid in your word and to have the faith that would help them move through the world serving you. Help us to help them. Bless them always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The final of our things, what we need to do to help us find our faith in a fearful and failing world, is to follow your faith. Now you may be thinking, well, that's hard to do if we're trying to find our faith. But that's part of the journey and what we get to do and what we get to do together. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So we hear, again, this idea of achieving and pushing on, getting to something else that's there, that's before us. And the things that we get to do in life, it's tough. And for our graduates, I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't get much better, really. It just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. But that's where we have faith to fall back on, faith to follow, faith to remind us what it is that we're doing. And this one, I don't have a whole lot to say because I can't do it for you. I can't even give you the right words for it. You have to figure it out for yourself. Doesn't matter how many Bible classes you go to, doesn't matter how many Sunday morning sermons you've been at, you have to figure out your own faith. And that's what you follow. And some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound right. But it's a struggle because we don't like to give up other people. We want to have faith for other people. And if they could just believe what I believe and how I believe it and why I believe it, but they may never believe exactly the same way that you do. And so for parents, that's a struggle that we have because we say, well, I just don't understand why they don't get it. And a lot of times I have to say, well, maybe we don't get it. And we just assume that we've gotten it because we've forgotten about all those other things and we're not following our faith, we're following our own path. And so when you hear this Hebrew writer, he says, we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. To get rid of all those things that weigh us down, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And how do we do this? We do this by keeping our eye on Jesus. Now, this will be before the time of a lot of the graduates, or for all the graduates, and I'm just going off of movies because I wasn't there when it happened, but if you remember Apollo 13, and you remember the movie Apollo 13. There's one part that is so amazing to me. That they have these 39 seconds that they're going to have to have no control over the vessel that they're in. But if they don't stay on course for those 39 seconds, then all is going to be lost. And the only thing that they can do is there's this tiny little viewfinder. And Jim Lovell is going to have to try to figure out a way to pick out a reference point to keep them on track. And they're trying to get home. They're trying to come back to the Earth. And so he says, if I can just keep the Earth in that viewfinder, if that can be my reference point for that amount of time, even if it bounces around and it doesn't stay in there the whole time, if I can end up on that reference point, we'll make it home. And I can tell you this with faith. You may have a lot of fearful things that go on in life. You may have a lot of failures. But if you can keep your focus on Jesus all the way to the end, you'll find something to follow. And for us, what we get to do is say, all right, how are we supposed to find our faith in all these things that we do? This was a quote that was at the beginning of the little senior slideshow that was there. Take pride in how far you have come. Have faith in how far you can go. And that's part of our prayer for these graduates. We're proud of them for how far that they've gotten, but we have to have faith that they're going to follow their faith and just how far that they can go. I'm going to ask David, if he would, to come up and to lead a prayer for us. Not only, again, just for our graduates, but also for us, that we in our lives will continue to focus our eyes, to fix our eyes on Jesus, and to follow our faith. David.
Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we're thankful that you love us. We're thankful for Jesus and the love that brought him to this earth to live, to die, and to live once more with you. He gives us hope in all things and assurance in all things, and we thank you for that. We're mindful of these graduates right now as they're about to enter a new chapter in their life. We pray that you would guide them. We pray that they would put their trust in you. We pray that you would be at the forefront of their thoughts and their lives. And we pray that everything that they do would be done for you. We pray for their faith. We pray that that faith will grow, and that they will grow stronger every day in their relationship with you. We pray that wherever they go, that they will find a church family to be a part of, a family to be a strength and an encouragement to them. We pray that however many days that you give them on this earth, that they will serve you and that they will seek you. And we pray that they will live their lives in honor to you. May each of us do the same. May we always seek you and honor you with our lives. Strengthen us. Forgive us when we fail. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise, so be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise, so be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
I guess if I'm going to continue Wes's alliteration, I would have to make this point, don't forget, with the emphasis on forget. Well, Wes has said that we need to forget our failures, but there's also some things that we don't need to forget. And one of them is about what we're about to do. In the book of Deuteronomy, the word remember is used 15 times. The word forget and not to forget is used 10 times. That's a total of 25 times that Moses wrote that we need to remember and not forget. When I graduated, and I know the graduates today think it's so far back that I can't remember, but I really do remember some things about it. And some of the presents that I received were still an influence on my life. My grandma Trudy, which really wasn't my grandmother, but she was a special lady in the congregation that always was an encouragement to me. She gave me a dictionary. For those of you who don't know, that's a book that has words in it with definitions. And it's still in a prominent place in my office where I can see it. I hardly ever open it anymore because you can get all of that online and everything. But that book reminds me, because she wrote inside of it, to not forget the power of words. She knew I was going to be a preacher, and she was encouraging me. And she felt like that was something I needed to remember. My first speech teacher, who also happened to be my insurance agent, he taught a class for the men in the congregation in speech to help them get up and speak publicly, because it's our greatest fear, Wes. And I was 10 years old when I was allowed to be there with all those older guys, you know, doing this. So when I graduated, the teacher gave me a writing set, a cross writing set. And he said, keep writing. That's all he said. And that's been an encouragement to me through the years. My high school English teacher gave me a card for my graduation. It was very special to me. She said, to not forget the power of words. She thought I had some kind of gift, and she encouraged me to not forget that. And then the preacher who had, our previous preacher, gave me a gift of a New American Standard Bible. It was really my first non-King James Bible. And in it he wrote inside, for me to remember the power of the word, not words, but the word, and put down Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. All of those reminders still live with me, and I encourage the graduates today to remember. Remember the things that Wes is saying to you today. Remember those nuggets that teachers and parents and so forth have shared with you. But one thing I would encourage all of us to remember is what we're about to do now and what it represents. I believe one of the reasons why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses was encouraging the people to remember, no matter what happens, remember the Passover. Remember what it means. Review that in your minds about what was happening that night that the Lord passed over and you were freed from Egyptian bondage. And Jesus is telling us to remember me, the new Passover lamb. Remember how your sins are passed over and how you're forgiven. So first, let us take the bread. It's in the top of this little packet. And remember the body of Jesus, who was offered as the sacrifice for us so that we might be redeemed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we remember how Jesus came into this world as a little baby, born in the birth, so natural, so real, and became a real human being to live his life as an example for us, to be perfect before us, to model what it means to be God in the flesh, and to die for us so that we might be back with you someday, reconciled and in a perfect relationship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The second part of this remembrance, Jesus asks us to remember that the fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed for the sacrifice for our sins. Life is in the blood, and Jesus shed his blood to give his life, that through his death we might be victorious over sin and death. And by conquering sin and death, not only will we be free from our sins, but we will be resurrected to life again someday. And we will live forever with the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? We're grateful for this cup, for what it represents. Help us, Father, no matter what we forget in this world, may we never forget the price that was paid for us. May we always remember the blood that was shed for us so that we might be forgiven. May we live our lives with the remembrance that we are forgiven. And because of that, and because of our thanks and appreciation for what we have been forgiven from, we might live a life that will fulfill our mission in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How do you explain, how do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. The words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years Lord, I would still run out of time if you listen to my heart. Every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts.
All right. I wanted to finish up our time together today with this as a reminder, going back to what we started with, that on that shore, that Jesus saw some people and said, I'm going to ask him something. And we always kind of forget that we think Jesus only asked 12 people to follow him. But everywhere he went, he would have that same cry, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. And he had to finally choose 12 that were going to be his close followers. But everywhere he goes, he says, come follow me. So I want to offer this charge to our seniors. So you're going to have to face a fear maybe here. Seniors, if you would, stand up for me. I'll wait. I've got all day. So, all right. Seniors, when you're faced with struggles, remember to face your fears and to hear those words, come follow me. When you fail, remember forget those failures and to hear the words, come follow me. And when you're faced with trying to find and follow your own faith, remember those words, come follow me. Now, if the seniors' families would stand with them, please. Seniors and families, when you're faced with struggles, remember to face your fears and to hear the words, come follow me. Remember when you fail, to forget those failures and to hear the words, come follow me. And when you are faced with finding and following your faith, remember those words, come follow me. And now, Graham Street, if you would stand for us, please. When you are faced with struggles, remember to face your fears and to hear those words, come follow me. And remember when you fail, to forget those failures and to hear those words, come follow me. And when you are faced with finding and following your faith, remember those words, come follow me. As we get ready to close out our service together today, during this next song, I'm going to ask if the seniors and their families would go ahead and make their way down front as Mike closes us out today in prayer. He's going to pray over them. So while we have this next song, seniors and your families, if you would, make your way forward.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us this morning to come worship you, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer. Father, we honor you, we praise you, and Father, we love you for who you are. We pray that what we've done here this morning will please you, Father. We want to thank you for each precious soul that's here. Pray they'll be edified and encouraged by being together. At this time, I'm going to lift up these five graduates, Father, for your blessings. Father, we love them. We love their families. We pray for their guidance, your guidance, as they start the next chapter of their life. We pray, Father, that you would give them a tender heart. They would recognize your leading spirit. They would clearly hear your voice and not rely on their own understanding. Acknowledge all that you do in their lives. Father, we pray for strength as they go through the storms of life. We pray they would not lose heart, but by faith, knowing that you have perfect timing, that you have a plan for each of us. We pray they would have wisdom to see the opportunities that are before them, opportunities you place there, and they would live in a way that honors you. Father, you've given each of these seniors blessings. You've given them gifts. And Father, we ask that they would take the gifts that you've given them, develop those, and use them in your service. They would be servants, and they would remember you in the days of their youth. Father, we also pray for the parents and the families. This is also another chapter in their lives. We pray that you would comfort them and relieve their anxiety going forward. They would continue to be supportive, Father, and both the parents, the families, and these graduates would always be a blessing to each other. Well, we pray these things on their behalf. We also pray these things on our behalf also, Father. As we leave here this morning, we pray that you go with us, that we'd walk in the path that you would have us walk in, that we would be in the light, Father. And by the way we live, by the way we interact with others, that people would know that we belong to you and we are your children. But thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the grace that will lead us home. And thank you for the sacrifice, Father, that gives each one of us life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.